What does the Lord want me to accomplish through His Word tonight? What did I learn? This is for our example. It's not a mistake. And so let's try to take some principles and some truths and take them in our lives, no matter who we are, and that we might learn from it. So as we look at this, as Joseph rolled the punches, you might say this, would you say we all get punched in different ways or other? Of course, trials and tribulations. And God wants us to react like Joseph did. And so look with me, first of all, as we look at verses 1 and 2. But before that, because I'm going to bring you back to this, I want to show you what were some different truths that might bring some insights in this story that I know when I was studying this week, I hadn't thought of before. Just some, I don't know, you call it trivia, but things that I hadn't thought of before that could very well have been. But so look with me up at verse 20 so we get the context. Remember the context last week that we talked about? The context was he was thrown in prison because of the alleged affair that he had with Potiphar's wife, which she lied and it was not, and he ran, and he resisted the temptations that were set before him, and he realized, how could I sin before God doing this wickedness? Now look with me in verse 20. After all that happened, it says, and Joseph's matter took him, excuse me, I'm sorry, and Joseph's master, Potiphar, and that would be Potiphar, would it not be? Joseph's master there, took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Now it says where the king's prisoners were bound, they would be probably different places of prisoners, but that could have been a place, different places where maybe some prisoner places were not as hard as other places. But we'll see further on. It says, but in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. So what did he find out real quick? That Joseph was the one to put in charge of everything, make his work light. Where do you think he got that from? Do you think he just observed Joseph? Well, I think that would have been one of the things, but I think you're going to see here in a little bit one thing we have to realize as we come down and go up into verse 1, and it says, and it came to pass after these things. All right, a lot of times we will take, let me just confess, myself, I just take that lightly sometimes, and I say, okay, after these things, okay, he's throwing in a few days after different things happen. But no, there's different translations as you look at it. It's talking about after these things. We don't know how long, but it could have been quite a while that Joseph was in prison here before we see this event, because it was after these things. Now, let's take the time in this, and we look at it this way. Do you remember the age that when his brothers threw him in the pit and he was sold to Egypt there? It was in Potiphar's hand. Do you remember his age? He was 17. And then if we go further, we'll see that when he was given second in command to Egypt, to Pharaoh, only a ruler of Pharaoh was higher than he was 30. So approximately 13 years are between this time when he was in prison and when he was sold to Potiphar until he was ruler. 13 years. We do know that the event that we see here, we see happened, remember, how many years did the butler, and we'll be going over it and we'll see it, but how many years did the butler be restored to his position before he remembered Joseph? It wasn't until the dream came into Pharaoh's heart, and then he remembered him, and that was 2 years. And so, in other words, this happened, we know this happened when he was 28 years of age. So between 28 and 17 would have to be divided between Potiphar and prison. What kind of prison? We don't know. How long was he in Potiphar? We don't. Some commentators say he was there for a while with him, but probably the majority in prison, maybe 10 years. in prison. Some think that he was in that this was maybe a part of the prison where it was a little more privileges. If that's the case, I think we're going to see something here that could be, but not necessarily, because we do know sometime between that, 17 and 30, he was in chains and he was hurt. Here's how we know that. Turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And look with me at verse, chapter 105 of Psalms, and look with me at verse 16. The context here, history of Israel. In verse 16 it says, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even who?" So who's this talking about here? Joseph. "Who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent, loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free, and he made him lord of his house, ruler of all his substance." We learn a little bit more about him there, don't we? The word of God tells us that he had, wherever it was, there was a time, whichever part that was, whether it was a kind of prison that was there at first, and then he did grow and was and had a better part in prison. Because look what we see in back in chapter 40. And it says, no matter how far that time was, we know that by the time he was 28 was when this happened. Because it came to pass after these things, after these long days, at many days or years, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison and the place where Joseph was bound. What I see here is the butler and baker's imprisonment in these first three verses. Their conduct and, of course, their confinement. But what I want to, as we go through this, I want to call your attention to so you can have this in mind. Look with me where it says there, they were thrown in prison, and Pharaoh was wroth to them. And verse 3, it says, "And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison." Now we see in verses 20 through 23, notice it says that the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand to all the prisoners, the keeper of the prison. But here it says the Pharaoh wroth with him. And verse 3 is, "And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard." So the keeper of the prison would have been under the captain of the guard. Now the question would be, we do not know this for sure, but the question would be, who was the captain of the guard? Well, look back at chapter 39 of Genesis and look at verse 1. 39 and verse 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the what? Captain of the guard, Egyptian, bought him by the hand of Ishmael's, which had brought him down thither." So it very well could be, we can't be dogmatic, but it sure seems like it, that Potiphar was the captain of the guard. And so notice what happens here. And it says his master put him in prison, his own prison, of which he was captain of the guard, of who the keeper would have been under his care, and the keeper automatically saw him and gave him maybe some privileges or put him in charge of the prisoners. They saw his heart to care for them. Could it be, now this is all speculation, could it be that this is sort of a witness that Potiphar really did know his wife was who she was. Because how would this keeper of the prison know to put him in there unless it would be years seeing him? And that very well could be, because we are not told. But it also could be, since the captain of the guard was Potiphar and he put him in there, and he could have taken the keeper of the prisoner and said, "Look, it, this guy is really good. He came in my house, and within months, my finances were going forward. Everything was growing, my crops, everything. Everything was blessed. And look what we have in the passage. In verse 22 up in chapter 39, and the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand, all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under him, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it what? Prosper. And he saw, as he sees this, told possibly by Potiphar, which would have shown that Potiphar really had a guilty conscience. We don't know that for sure. This is all speculation. I'm not going to die in a conviction on this. But it's just, it was, what you call it, trivia. It was interesting to me because it can put a little different light on the subject of it and what comes on afterwards. Because you see here, we are not told the real reason for the predicament that these two were under. All we know that is it came to pass that the butler and the Egyptian, the baker, they offended their Lord. Now the word offended is the translated sin or incur guilt. It's the same word that Joseph used when he said, how should I do this wickedness before the Lord? And this adultery before the Lord. And it would be against God. And so that's the same word that he's using here. So it's something against somebody. Now what we have to do is look at, we do not know for sure, but we do realize that they were put in prison. They weren't at that time killed. But it says that Pharaoh was angry with them. Now to help us understand that, I think we can go back to look at the history of the Egyptians at that time and look what the occupation, what the responsibilities of the cupbearer was. The cupbearer was really a responsibility for that cupbearer. Would have been one that would take care of his position was to really make sure that everything that Pharaoh drank was not poison. And so he would have first hand to Pharaoh. He would be the one that would know him. And so possibly now we're getting into our speculations because we do not know what happened. But we do know this, that a butler and baker seemed to sin against him. And we know that one he restored to his original position. He didn't make him go on the bottom and work up. He restored him to his original position. And the other one, he what? He hung. He killed him. So the baker's responsibility also was, so really, these two would work together. One to make sure nothing he would drink would be poison. And then the baker would be nothing, making sure that nothing he what? Ate would be poison. And because of the results, I think I'm speculating again, it's only a speculation, but because of the results of what we know of the story, it very well could be that the baker knew of something or part of an instigate, maybe to kill Pharaoh or something like that. And they did more judgment. They did some judgment onto him because look at the reading of it. And verse 4, it says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Notice what he went. The captain of the guard must have told the keeper and said, now, these two, this would be years after what would have happened with Potiphar and his wife. Years later, he charged him and said, these two, they are high up in Potiphar's court in responsibilities. He put them in this prison that might have had more privileges, and he wanted Joseph to care for him because he knew he would what? Care for him. He knew Joseph's character. And of course, the keeper of the prison would have seen that already, maybe from Potiphar telling him, but also seen it because everything was being blessed. And so the responsibility there was one that he would care for them. And they dreamed, look at the reading as it goes further, and they served them continue season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker and the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Later on, and we'll go over this again as we go over it, but later on, as we see after the interpretation of it, we see down in verse number 18, 19, verse 19. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up the head of the, no, I'm sorry, verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. In other words, he had a judgment. It doesn't mean he, because it says lifted up both of them. And that time, it's not talking, the inference would be that there was a judgment, an indictment that came. And he probably, in that investigation, he had an investigation of it, he found out what happened. Remember, there would have been 3 days in there, he investigating before his birthday. And notice it says, and he restored the chief butler under his butlership. Now, if there was any guilt at all in the butler, do you think Pharaoh would have restored him? Heavens, no. He was angry on what he found out because they offended him. And he found out that probably the butler didn't have any part of it. The baker did. And so the baker was curtains. So as we look at that, we must realize that as we look at the cupbearer's job to protect the king by making certain the king's wine was prepared and safe to drink, so he had access to the king's ear. It's very important that we understand that, because we know the rest of the story, of course. But as you go down and think, it's very important because Joseph pleaded to him, and he knew that he had the Pharaoh's what? Ear, and he knew Pharaoh could overturn Potiphar. And so we realize, though, that his imprisonment with them, and notice it says he was with Joseph, and they put him, the captain, the guard, and the prisoner, they put him with Joseph, these two with Joseph, was a step in God's completion of his perfect will for the life of Joseph. He put these two, that King Pharaoh was really mad at, angry. They offended him. They put him in, and he put him in with Joseph, and they then went and wanted him to take care of these two and help them, and he really got to know them. He took good care of them. He had genuine concern for them. You know, isn't it important that we have genuine concern for people? I think here they're in prison, and we see that he got to know them, because we'll see down in verse, let's just keep reading and we'll mention it. And he asked, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon, let's go back to verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. How did they know they were sad? He had to know them in their countenance and how they were and how he took care of them. But he saw that they were sad. And one of the reasons they were sad is because of these dreams. And in Old Testament times and in ancient times, dreams were very important. They were revelatory. And they before were in whose court? Whose administration would they have been in? Pharaoh's. And Pharaoh would have had all of the wise men to what? Interpret dreams. They're now in a place where they can't understand what their dream was all about. And they don't know what it is, and they were confused, and they had a desire to see those dreams interpreted. And Joseph knew them so well, and he took care of them and watched over all of them. He undoubtedly had a great reputation among all the prisoners and how he cared for them. But these two special, and he went and said, listen, what's bothering you? Can't you tell when you really know someone when there's something wrong? I'm not talking about sin or anything, but can't you tell those that you love and you know and you care about? You can tell when something's wrong. Don't you love when they say, oh, nothing? Oh, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. You know very well that ain't true. You know what's. And he so cared for them, and he says, what is wrong? And so they told him, we've got dreams, and we don't have anyone to interpret them. We don't know. We're, we're, We're in turmoil. And so we go down, and he says that in verse 7, he asks Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of this Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look you so sad today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." You see, those things that God allows in our life are part of His directing paths. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on thy own understanding, but in all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. All of those things that God allows in our life are part of His directing our paths. And so we see here that in his perception, that he saw that they were, their countenance was sad, and he was right. But we see that he had great discernment in his interpretation of their dreams, and he realized God, who gave the revelation, could provide the interpretation to whomever he chooses. And so he says, "Tell me your dream." For only God interprets, gives dreams, and interprets it. And so we see then, looking with me in verses 9 through 11 and 16 through 17, the dreams that were stated. Look what it says in verse 9. "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. In the vine, there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand.'" Before we go any farther, let's just look at that dream for just a second and just try to put some of those things together. We realize that the imagery of this was really an abundance and involved a group of threes. That's how we would know that's what came the 3 days as God gave Joseph the interpretation. But notice there were three branches in this, which budded, blossomed, and ripened. Three branches that did three things. They budded, they blossomed, they ripened. And the cupbearer took, squeezed, and placed them. So there's three branches. Those three branches, they budded, blossomed, and ripened. And then the cupbearer did three things. He took, squeezed, and placed them. By the way, also, this would also be showing us, notice that this dream that the butler had was all about what his responsibility was his occupation. And we see that that it all ripened. And so the two-step activity portrayed the duties of the royal cupbearer. In fact, look at verse 11, and you'll see Pharaoh and the cup mentioned three times. Look at verse 11. "And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand." There's Pharaoh, there's cup, number one. "And I took the grapes and pressed them into" what? Pharaoh's cup, that's number two. "And I gave the cup," number three, "Pharaoh's hand," number three. All those things that would have shown there's something to do with three here. And as God insight gave to Joseph, there was three. And so look at down at verses 16 and 17 then to the baker's dream. "When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good," because in the verses before this, hey, boy, that dream turned out great for the butler. "I wonder what mine is." And so the butler says, "When the chief baker," verse 16, "saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, 'I also was in my dream.'" Notice he says, "I was in the dream." The cupbearer said what? He was in the dream. We have that likeness. He says, "Behold, I had three baskets on my head." There's three again. "And in the uttermost basket, there was a manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon the head. And Joseph answered and said, 'This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days.'" And so we see as it goes further on, we see that he gave the interpretation of it. So let's go back to the interpretation of the butler. as we realized that there were, again, both threes, the three branches, three baskets. Both dreams were of their respective occupations. In both dreams, the cupbearer and the baker all appeared in those. And so we see that in verses 13 and 14, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner which thou wast his butler. And then notice he pleads him. He solved it, but then he summoned the butler and pleads with the butler, and he protests why he's there. Notice he says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." First of all, what was Joseph doing for this butler when he was in prison? He was helping him a lot. Remember, he was put in charge of them. He gave them things that others might not have had. But he helped them so much. And he interpreted the dream. And look what it says. "Think on me when it shall be well with thee." When this does come to bat, notice Joseph has no doubt what? That he's going to be what? Freed. "When this happens to you, show me kindness. I pray thee unto me, make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me unto the dungeon." The chief baker's answer then. It says, this interpretation is this, in verse 19, "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thy tree." And so then we see the dream's impact, of course, the fulfillment of it. But we see that here, one thing that I discerned through the reading different commentaries, there are some commentaries that believe, and I disagree with this. I don't see this in the text at all. There is one commentary that mentioned that he thinks that Joseph tried to get out of prison on his own instead of just waiting and letting God. I don't see that at all. Because he said, "Listen, remember me when you go to Pharaoh, because you have Pharaoh's ear, and he can override Potiphar, because I'm innocent. I've done nothing here." Did you know there's times where it's right to appeal and defend yourself? Sometimes too much defense, though, makes you look guilty. But there are times. And he went, and I just believe he said, "Listen, I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but listen, maybe the Lord's going to work that way." Because we see in his whole character, he trusts and put his faith in God. You know what else? It was easy for Joseph to interpret and tell the butler what his dream was. Wouldn't that be easy for you? You're in prison. You have a dream. I come and interpret and say, "Hey, 3 days, you're out of here. In fact, you're not only out of here, you're restored to the same position." And you'd say, "Yeah, right. Well, fat chance that's going to happen." And all of that happens. But you're very sure. And it's very easy for you to tell him that. What do you think went through Joseph's mind when he went and told the butler's interpretation? Did he help the butler and the baker the same way? Excuse me, went until the baker's interpretation. Did he help the butler and the baker the same way? Do you think he cared for them the same way? Do you think he thought they were ones that he probably started getting attached to as far as friendship? And then he had to go tell the baker that in 3 days, it's capital punishment. You're going to die. Do you imagine those 3 days? What went through Joseph's, trying to encourage and comfort him? One principle that we can see, and what I said that is, Joseph had courage. You know, we need more courage today. It's easy to always preach the good things, isn't it? Oh, let's preach love and joy and comfort. But sometimes you've got to, you have to preach the whole counsel of God. There's judgment. There's punishment. there's chastisement. And as a preacher of the Word of God, as one man put it this way, we see the courage of Joseph, although it was difficult, partly in the case where the interpretation concerned the life of one who had become his friend. He was not afraid to deliver the whole counsel of God. How many there are who are willing to preach the cupbearer's sermon, but unwilling to preach the baker's sermon? Folks, when you talk to someone about the Lord, you need to give them the truth. Jesus Christ died, loves you, and died on the cross for you. That's great, isn't it? Whether they believe it or not, they're going to become. But you also have to tell them, he died because you're a sinner, and you're the one that put him there. And you need to repent of that sin. Change your mind about God and sin, and that you might give the whole counsel of God and be truthful. It's God that works in hearts. You know, many times, you look back, the ones that have influenced you the most, the one that have helped you the most, possibly the ones that you've looked up to the most, have probably said the hardest things to you. Now, there might be some that said hard things to you, but they didn't say it in love, and you sort of brisked it. But you know, as I look back of the ones that influenced my life, there are ones that corrected me. Times when I needed, and times when maybe I didn't like it or didn't want it. Or they said the truth about something that I just had to go back and think about. Then there were times the encouragement came. And you know, Joseph had some good news for the butler and some bad news for the baker. And we are so in a day and age where, heaven forbid, I do something wrong. I've shared with you before. I was listening to a message here in New England of a fundamental pastor quite a few years ago. Was preaching a good message on salvation and came across, never mentioned sin though once, so I'd have to say not a real good message on salvation. But you know what he used instead of sin? He used the word issue. We all have what? Issues. Is that true? Yeah. But why do you think he was using that? A lot of unsaved people in the crowd. A lot of people that possibly want to see back, that if you say they're sinners, they might not come back. Folks, we need to be preaching the butler's message as well as the baker's message. And look at what happened here. Joseph knew of his innocence, but he also knew that timing was very important. And we see that Pharaoh restored his cupbearer. Probably indicated that the chief baker was responsible for what he was there and the cupbearer was not. And it really pointed to his innocence. For look what the last verses 20 through 23 says. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The butler was exonerated. Baker was executed. The dreams were fulfilled. And all the things that Joseph did for the butler went away, says, I'm free now, and forgot him. All the things he did for Potiphar what? Threw him in prison. All the things he did for his dad and his brothers, and faithfulness, threw him in a pit. Even when he mentions dungeon, that word dungeon, the same word, the idea of pit, when he was thrown into the pit by the brothers. Do you think that Joseph was disappointed? Do you think there were as many disappointments in his life? The butler's forgetfulness created a disappointment possibly in Joseph's life. Yet we only see faithful Joseph. He faithfully rolled with the punches. I remember what my father, as I was studying this and reviewing this, remember what my father said many times to me. Many times, our disappointments are God's appointments. Did Joseph have a few disappointments? But were they God's appointments? And if he had to go back into prison because he had to go through who? Butler. Had to go through the butler who had direct access to the ear of Pharaoh because God had a plan. And he had that specific plan for Joseph, nobody else. And so he had to go back in that prison. He had to be there. And the butler had to be thrown in prison. And he came out, and then the Lord undoubtedly for 2 years had to teach Joseph some more things. And you know what I believe? I believe practically that those 2 years were more more growth that Joseph needed to be able to run the world as second in command of the world. Without it, he couldn't have done it. And it all came about by forgetfulness, those 2 years of one man, and disappointments that became God's appointments. Have you ever thought why the butler forgot? There's speculation, of course. Perhaps he may have been afraid to speak anything to Pharaoh that might have brought up old things. But the bottom line, it just says he forgot. Perhaps he was so enamored with his own restoration, he couldn't think of anything but himself. But when it came to the king of Egypt having a dream, the Lord pricked his heart, and what happened? Yeah. And you know the rest of the story. But the butler forgot Joseph. Joseph was once again unjustly treated. But unknown to him, another opportunity was coming. And it was worth waiting for. The cupbearer forgot him, but guess who didn't forget him? God. No matter where you are in your life, do you know that God doesn't forget you? He knows all about you. He does not forget you. So in this hope, Joseph had a persistent faith. His faith was not destroyed by his circumstances because God did not forget him. He had a specific plan. And you'll see that in your life. As I was reminded of this, I thought of different disappointments in my life, thinking, well, why not this? And I saw why. Hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? Because God had something different, something real. And God has something specific for every one of his saints, and he does not forget you. Just as he didn't forget Joseph, he'll direct you in that path as you trust in him with your whole heart and acknowledge him and let him direct you right where he wants you to be, just as he did Joseph, that saved hundreds, thousands from death because God knew there was good time coming and some bad times coming as far as the economy. But God never forgets his children. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you.